Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of You're the Cure. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. VeritasMedical.com is where you can find this interview archived. It'll also be on iTunes under You're the Cure. We are excited to have a repeat guest, Ed Dowd, former portfolio manager with BlackRock. And we've had Ed on the show before. His book, Cause Unknown. Ed's been analyzing the statistics over the past many months, maybe even a year now, on this increased mortality rate. And there's some new stats out. I've recently seen Ed on a number of different interviews and shows and want him to come back on here and kind of update us as we continue to try to bring the truth to our audience. And we don't always get that from the health authorities for some reason, Ed, but we appreciate you coming back on the show today.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on again.
You bet. And for those that didn't hear our first interview, could you just give a little bit of background? What's a financial guy doing? Talk about COVID, all-cause mortality, and increased cardiac mortality and stuff like that. Kind of give us a little bit of the background on your story.
Yeah, financial people try to make money for their clients. I was at BlackRock mostly. That's what I'm most known for. 10 years, ran a large cap growth portfolio of stocks that we grew from $2 billion to $14 billion over 10 years. And we didn't grow it organically. We had both good performance and new clients because our performance was so good. So why am I here? Why do I, analyze this? Well, you know, we follow trends, we follow charts, we follow statistics. And when you map excess mortality or excess disabilities or excess absence rates and work time lost, there's statistical trend changes that we've been noting. And we've analyzed them like any trend change. And, you know, when they deviate from norm, anything above a 3 standard deviation change is considered a signal. And, you know, since 2021, we've had signals pop off everywhere, especially excess mortality amongst the younger age working population in many countries, most notably the U.S. And disabilities are on the rise, and they took off again this June and July. And we were able to get some updates to the U.K. Data for 23. We only have 6 months, but we annualize it. And the U.K. excess mortality for 15 through 44 is at 20%. It was 16% in 2020, went 2021, went down to 11% in 22, and now it's back to a new all-time high. So there's something alarming going on in the populations of the world, and I blame the vaccines because that's the only thing that was introduced, on a massive scale. Anybody have another explanation? Love to hear it. But I mean, until proven otherwise, something changed. It caused a mix shift from old in 2020, mostly who died in the excess deaths, 500,000 excess deaths in 2020. And then there was a mix shift in 2021 where, you know, Gen X and millennials started to have higher excess mortality in 21 versus 2020. So something changed. And unless you can, you know, tell me a virus decided to go after younger employed people, my only explanation is the vaccines. So that's our thesis. But what's undeniable are the excess disabilities that are continuing to accelerate and excess deaths being recorded across the globe.
Yeah. So give the listeners an idea on that 20% increase as far as, you know, what are the odds of that just randomly happening or historically? What kind of increases maybe have we seen anything comparable to that? Just give some context to that.
Well, let's talk about the signal we just found in cardiovascular deaths in the UK. I dropped that report last week. We're seeing in 2022 a 10.5 standard, and that rose 44%. So it was up 13% in 2020. It was up 30% in 21 and up 44% in 2022. We don't have 23 numbers yet, but that's the 2022 44% increase was 10.5 standard deviations. What that means, that's from a long-term trend from going back to 2010. What that means is that, so your listeners understand, a 3.8 standard deviation event is the chance of lightning hitting you at least once in your lifetime. So most of us don't get hit by lightning once in our lifetime. So when we see a signal like this, it says something has changed, something has gone off the rails and needs to be investigated. And is it a new trend? That's the question we need to ask.
Right. What about some other specifics? I think I saw, this might have been a couple weeks ago, you had some data on hematological or blood-related claims were up significantly as well. Can you speak?
Yeah, this is from the UK data. It's called the UK PIP system. It's a personal independence payment system. It's their public disability. They have a treasure trove of data, and we were able to analyze new claims, new claims above trend, and the trend that had been established from 2016 on. And what we found is the trend was off the charts on a bunch of different body systems. Hematological issues in 2022 are up 500%, which on an annual basis is a 60 standard deviation event. But, you know, to be honest, that's only, you know, you're comparing annual data. When we drill down into the monthly data, it's a 25 standard deviation, but still enough to say there's a black swan event that's occurred here. Something's going on in the UK in the blood. And then, of course, we looked at all sorts of other body systems, cardiovascular, oncology, neurological, and they're all up across the board. So either the systemic fraud going on in the UK pension system or there's some new health issue going on in the UK. We see the same numbers in the disability raw numbers in the U.S., but we don't have the causes. We don't have that kind of granularity, but we do have causes from the UK. And again, the question is why? Obviously, you know, my thesis is it's the vaccine. If it's not the vaccine, what is it? And most importantly, as you know, there doesn't seem to be any national discussion in the US or UK or Europe about these numbers. The numbers are real. The question is why is no one talking about them?
Yeah, and that is a big question. I don't know of any local public health official, state health official, definitely not a federal health official, even entertaining this discussion. In fact, it's the opposite. FDA just approved a few weeks ago new COVID shots for 12 and up, and even an EUA, still emergency use, for 6 months up to 11 years, which I want to give you a chance to talk about that too, because I saw a quote. I don't have it in front of me, but basically you were talking about the biggest fraud in history or your lifetime or something like that. Can you, I mean, this is your personal opinion on some things here, but can you speak to that? The data you're seeing and talking about, not only is it not being talked about, but the health authorities at the federal level continue to encourage the use of this, although colleagues on who think a little more like me, Peter McCullough the other day, called for them to be pulled off the market completely. Just a huge discrepancy there. Do you have any thoughts or opinions on this?
Yeah, so in my job, historically, was to get information through, you know, non-legal means. You know, we call it the analyst mosaic, before my peers, and make a bet in the stock markets or the bond markets to make money before everybody else figures out the new trend. It's called asymmetric information. Well, right now we have a community like yourself and myself and Peter McCullough and Dr. Malone and all these doctors, you know, banging the drums that this vaccine is doing XYZ to you. But the mainstream media and the government authorities are staying quiet on this. So it's an asymmetric information gap, except it's deadly this time. You don't make money. If you don't find out what we know, you could end up disabling yourself or dying. So that's why it's a fraud, because the data is so bad that the authorities see what I see. And forget the who and the why, forget whether it was a plan or a mistake. It doesn't matter. Right now we're in a cover-up. You know, Dr. Naomi Wolf recently uncovered through FOIA some internal memos at the White House that they knew about myocarditis and heart problems in May. But yet again, they continue to push the vaccine and then mandate it that summer. So there was definitely a cover up that even started before, you know, 2022, which I gave them credit. I said once they figured out what was going on, they surely would pull it, but they didn't. They continued to push it. So this is such a large medical disaster that they have to pretend that everything's fine, because to pull one vaccine is to pull them all. And so they literally have to continue down this path, or they're all guilty of something, covering up something.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you follow Dr. William Mackis out of Canada, an oncologist, and he's recently been on a couple different shows I've seen, and he's talking about these turbo cancers. And I'm quoting here, Dr. Mackis: "I've never seen cancers behave like this. The youngest case that I've reported was a 12-year-old boy who had one Moderna vaccine. 4 months later, he developed stage 4 brain cancers. Then 6 months later, he died. I've diagnosed probably 20,000 cancer patients in my career. I've never seen cancers behave like this." And when he's talking about the end quote there, so now when he's talking about these cancers behave like this, he's talking about aggressive, coming in, diagnosed late stage, and then a quick progression, non-responsive to therapy. And Dr. Mackis has been really out front on this thing the whole time. But as far as data, does the UK data, have you all pulled anything out as far as cancer goes?
So the data from the UK showed, let me pull it up. I'll give me a moment. But the punchline is the cancer started to take off in 2022. And let me go to body systems, all of cancer. And I'll look at the yearly data.
And while he's looking at that, guys, I'll just tell you that Dr. Mackis, he's been recording physician deaths in Canada, which I don't have the latest number. Last time I looked, a few months back, it was over 180, I think. And most of these are young physicians. He recently on his Substack, I think it was 4 physicians in 1 hospital all died within a couple months of each other, all from cancer. So he's been tracking these physicians that are dying, fitness enthusiasts dying suddenly, 16 sudden deaths examined on his Substack. And these are young, healthy fitness instructors, teachers decimated by aggressive and metastatic cancers. Obviously, teachers were mandated to take the shot. Nurses, he just goes pretty thorough. I'm just going to check.
I got the data now.
Okay.
So from this is the UK excess claims above trend. So in 2020, it was a noise event. It was 1.7% above trend, which is, that's noise. And then in 2021, it was 6.4% above trend. Then it exploded in 22 to 35%. And to give you the standard deviation Z-score on that, it was noise in 2020, a Z-score standard deviation of 0.8. In 2021, it was starting to approach, significance. It was 2.8 standard deviations. And then in 2022, 15.8. So something exploded in 2022 in the UK. So the turbo cancers that your friend is talking about, or the individual you're talking about, is literally been recorded in the UK. So I suspect this is going on, in the US and other European countries. So the anecdotal data that we're hearing is verified by the UK disability system. And those aren't deaths. Those are disability claims, new claims.
Yeah. Well, in a recent article Peter McCullough wrote on his Substack talking about the myocarditis, and he really thinks it's really the tip of the iceberg. He's concerned that we're still seeing these cardiac arrests 2 years after these injections. So this historically myocarditis, if you're diagnosed with it, within 5 to 10 years, it's a extremely high death rate, close to 50%. But he mentioned the other day there was an article posted on just days missed work. And these are in healthcare workers. I don't know if you saw that recent study that came out. Healthcare workers, 35%, I believe it was. I don't have the study in front of me. Having to miss work with and receive medical care after the vaccine. So just speak to that a little bit from the worker standpoint, young people you mentioned, but these disability claims. I mean, this total conjecture, but at some point you expect this sort of plateau and level off, but that's not what you're saying.
Yeah, Yeah, so I was hoping booster uptake, I think, was around 17% last year. And so my hope was that there was no medium-term effects from the vaccine and that we'd see excess mortality in the, you know, the millennial age group, especially the working age, to drop. And we haven't. It's still running around 25 to 30%. And disabilities, I was hoping, would... the good news was they peaked out in September of 2022, and then the rate of change slowed, and they went sideways. If it was a stock chart, you'd call it consolidation, and then you'd want to see the trend broken and head back down to, you know, where it was. Unfortunately, it broke out again in May, June, July, August, and we added 1 million disabled individuals in a very short time frame, according to this survey. You have to remember, we added 3.2 million between February of 21 and September of 22, and then in 3 short months, we exploded again another million. So this is alarming. And, you know, look, the employed population of the U.S. has historically been the healthiest because the very nature of they go to work and they have access to health care plans and whatnot. And that all flipped starting in 21 and 22. From two data sets, the Society of Actuaries saw a 40% increase in excess mortality in ages 25 through 64, and the general U.S. population saw 32%. So a traditionally healthy group of individuals flipped and started dying at a faster rate than the general U.S. population. Then the other database, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, showed that the disability rate for employed increased 30-plus percent, while the general U.S. population disability rate increased 9%. And even more curious is the not in labor force. These are the folks who are willing to work and able to work, but are, you know, in between jobs. Their disability rate only increased 4%, which doesn't make any sense because they're jobless without access to health care. So something is malevolent is going on to the employed working age population in the U.S. And it continues.
Yeah. I read a recent study just yesterday. Unvaccinated with Omicron infection have the lowest risk of post-COVID syndrome. There's other studies out there that show increased risk of post-COVID syndrome and the more vaccinated you are. So there's a potential right there for, I mean, some of this post-COVID syndrome I've seen personally in my clinic can be really devastating. Just so many different possibilities here as to causes for this disability, missed work days in the working class.
Yeah, the other alarming thing that we discovered was absence rates and work time loss. So death is the worst outcome of an adverse event from a vaccine. Disability is the second worst. And then we have what we call injured, and we're capturing that in the work time lost and absence rate data. And that exploded starting in 2022, and well, started in 21, but really started in 2022. It just took off, and we are seeing a 12 standard deviation from a 20-year trend difference in work time loss. So people who are injured are just kind of chronically ill and missing a lot of work, apparently.
Yeah. Well. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the book and how to find you and how to find the book that you wrote recently?
The book is Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Death in 21 and 22. It was published December 13th of 2022. My team and I have continued to do the work. The book was a snapshot in time of the available data. The book is a marriage of two things. It shows all the news stories that you haven't seen because they only made it to local internet newspapers, and we just published them. And the very curious, fact that there's so many of these stories of young athletes dying, young people dying in their sleep, celebrities, you name it. You know, we have hundreds and hundreds of these cataloged in the book, and then we also talk about the metadata. So we're trying to do two things with the book: show you that there's human faces attached to these statistics, and it's tragic. And again, I end the book by saying, you know, we don't go into the who and why. The numbers are the numbers. The regulators and authorities see what we see. Why are they not talking about it? And I then go on to say, I believe it's a cover-up. But we have U.S. disability data, Society of Actuary data, we have European data, we have UK data, and it's a very quick read. I've found that the book is being bought by people who want to convince their loved ones that something is going on, and because I come at it from a data-based, fact-based way of doing it rather than throwing around accusations and speculations as to who did what when, it just is, and it's starting to turn the needle, so people buy it for their loved ones.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for your work. And I know it's definitely opening some eyes, more and more eyes getting opened all the time.
The other thing is we have a website called financetechnologies.com, spelled with a PH instead of an F. We literally have cataloged all of our research. I'll name the projects right now because it's so much. We have a vaccine damage project where we estimate what happened to the U.S. in 2022, excess mortality project where we go through the U.S., U.K., Europe, Germany, Australia, Ireland. We don't have Canada because they don't seem to update their data as quickly as we would like. We have U.S. disability data. We have U.S. disability projects. We have U.S. BLS absence rate project. We have the U.K. cause of death project. We have the UK Disabilities Project. We have the UK Absence Rates Project. We have the SAEs in the mRNA clinical trial. Those are severe adverse events. We have a VSAFE data project. We continue to add projects. Some of the projects we're going to be working on are a fertility project and other projects. So we have what we think is the best data set on what's been going on from an excess death, disability, and injury standpoint. Now, you can disagree with what the cause is, but it just is. And the most curious thing about this, the numbers are so bad. They're worse than the pandemic of 2020, but yet we don't have the ticker on CNN telling us how many people are dropping dead and sick.
Yeah, that's a dead giveaway that there is a fraudulent cover-up going on. And I just want to encourage listeners out there. I know there's a lot of civic organizations and community groups and political action groups and just citizens trying to stand up in this area for sure. But even city councils, mayors, different folks have reached out because traditionally they've relied on their local, you know, public health nurse or public health authority or the state health authority. And, I mean, you've got to go to a website like this, financetechnologies.com, everything Ed Dell just listed off there. You're going to have to do your own digging and your own research and present this data to your public health official who used to be reliable and for some reason now is not. What an amazing tool that you have at your fingertips here because of Ed and his team. Can you say that website one more time, Ed?
Yeah, financetechnologies.com, spelled with a PH. There's all sorts of data and studies you can use to go before any of your civic boards, your school boards, and this data is just the data. I hopefully am going to be called before a state senate health committee in November and be able to present my data. So some states are starting to wake up, and we're going to go over my data if they're able to get me on the docket. So hopefully that does come to fruition.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you, Ed, for your time again. Appreciate you coming back on the show. Thank you for all your hard work, and kudos to your team for trying to get the truth out there to the people. We sure appreciate you.
Thank you, and appreciate you and others like you that, you know, are, you know, not doing the mainstream narrative, which is killing people, unfortunately.
Yeah, very unfortunate. All right, everybody, we'll be right back after this break. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. VeritasMedical.com is where you can find the show archived, and then on the podcast under You're the Cure. Y'all stick with us. We'll be right back.
And welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Welcome back, Dr. Ben Edwards.
Hey, Wade. All right, that was Ed Dowd that we were just listening to, some pretty alarming statistics. And I'm going to go through a few more here. And the main purpose of this, you know, just the other day my wife came home, this last week. She's at the grocery store and not eavesdropping, but just in the checkout line. Two little old ladies were there. Two grandmas, she said, and they were talking to each other about getting the latest, needing to get the next booster. And one was saying, I can't wait. Can't wait to get it. And the other one said, yeah, I've had five. I'm not sure if I need another one. And, but they were just legitimate, sweet grandmas talking. It just made me so sad and mad. I was down with my parents this weekend. I'm passing through, going to Houston, and stopped by to see them. And my mom was saying she just got back from a luncheon with all her kind of high school friends that she goes to lunch with. And maybe I shouldn't say this on air. I hope they don't listen. This might embarrass my mom. But sorry, Mom, didn't think of it till I just said it. But it was out of love and compassion for her friends. But she was telling me how some of them were just kind of pretty excited about talking about all the vaccines. And this was in general, you know, shingles shot, COVID shot, pneumonia shot, you know,
flu,
all the shots. And obviously all these folks are trying to do the right thing that they think's the right thing, trying to do something to be preventative and to help them in their health. And it's just this lack of transparency, lack of confession on the part of our public health officials. The data is just so overwhelming, as Ed Dow just went through. And there's just gobs and gobs of it. But the blatant disinformation, the blatant propaganda. There was a tragic death of an 8-year-old Israeli boy, not from what's going on currently there with Hamas and everything, but this was prior to the war starting. Little 8-year-old Israeli boy. And the reason this got picked up on Frontline News, frontline.news, excuse me, is because this particular 8-year-old boy, Yontan Erkleman, he was 5 years old at the time the video was shot, which his dad's a pediatrician. They thought the COVID shot would be the way to go for kids. But anyways, they used this little boy in a video that aired to, and it was using a little friendly puppet. There's a show over there, I guess, in Israel called Shushinki in the Land of Binyamin, which means to entertain and educate the children. And they use this puppet to do it. And basically, this particular episode, it was called In Quarantine with Shushuki, the puppet. And this little boy was in there. And it was a public health announcement / propaganda video about how you need to get your COVID shot. It's the only way to survive this pandemic. Anyways, at 8 years old, 3 years later, he died of a cardiac arrest. And, of course, this didn't make headlines. This was not in the news in Israel. No one's demanding an investigation.
I think I actually did see that video, the one that you're speaking of. Very sad.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is the reason we're doing the show today and continue to bring this up from time to time is because there continues to be people who don't know the truth. Although I just saw this weekend the latest numbers on the latest booster, only 1.3% of Americans decided to get that booster. So I think the message is finally getting through, or else people are just getting tired. But still, 1.3% times the U.S. population, that's a lot of people. And kind of further is the lack of public health officials. I don't know of any. Maybe there are some that I haven't seen to step up and say, I'm sorry. You know, we were thinking this. We were told this. Here's obviously what the facts are now with all the data and this huge mortality, increase in all-cause mortality. And, you know, forgive us. I'm sorry. And let's get after it. Let's go warn the world and pull these off the market. And but we're not there. So the World Council for Health adjourned an emergency meeting on the 10th of October. And this is an expert panel of physicians who I believe you should at least consider listening to alongside the World Health Organization. If you're going to listen to the World Health Organization, FDA and CDC, perhaps you might want to listen to some independent physicians, and that would be the World Council for Health. Anyways, their expert panel convened emergently on October the 10th, and they released a statement after that panel of experts presented all the data. It was an international expert panel, and it concluded that the COVID vaccines are contaminated with foreign DNA, and that simian virus 40, a cancer-promoting genetic sequence, has been found in the vaccines. And they released a 12-point summary of their findings. Number one, bacterial DNA plasmids. We're going to talk about this next week. We're going to have Dr. Brian Artis on the show live, and he's going to talk about plasmids and what those are, DNA plasmids, and what type of genetic sequences he has found in these vaccines. Not only he, but what the data and the published data shows. Anyways, there's not supposed to be any bacterial DNA plasmids in the mRNA vaccine vials, and there are. That was number one, summary of findings, 12 points here. Number two, a cancer-promoting genetic sequence, SV40, has been found in the COVID-19 vaccines. This was not present in the vials used for the approval trials, but has been found in all vials of the BioNTech vials disseminated for public use. Number three, these discoveries have been confirmed in several independent laboratories worldwide. Number four, the discovery was originally made April of 23 by Kevin McCrinnan, at which point regulatory bodies were contacted and informed. To date, no official reply has been received. That's peer-reviewed published data, April of 23. Today's mid-October of 23. Kevin McKernan has not had a reply from these public health officials as of yet. Point number five by the World Council of Health expert panel is multiple mechanisms exist in which this genetic information might be integrated into the human genome. Number six, this DNA could instruct our bodies to produce mRNA and foreign proteins for an unknown period, with potential implications for subsequent generations. Number seven, there's no constructive purpose identified for the undeclared simian virus 40 promoter sequence, which in addition to its cancer risk, enhances the capacity to incorporate the foreign genetic material into the recipient's own chromosomes, potentially rendering them, and possibly their offspring, permanently genetically modified. Number eight, there are multiple completely undeclared genetic sequences in both Moderna and Pfizer vials, with the SV40 sequence found only in Pfizer vials. However, latent SV40 infections in a significant portion of the population could represent the same SV40 risk to Moderna recipients. Number nine, even in the absence of chromosomal integration, the DNA plasmids could generate mRNA for the spike protein toxin and other harmful proteins for prolonged and unpredictable periods of time. Number 10, integration of foreign DNA into the human genome disrupts existing natural genetic sequences. This carries further risk of disease, including cancer. Number 11, the COVID-19 vaccines qualify as GMO, genetically modified organism products, which require approval in addition to that required for older, more traditional vaccines. Number 12, informed consent for these products is impossible, as the risk of the products have never been formally and transparently assessed by regulators and are not fully known. Independent assessment of the emerging and available evidence is that these products are extremely dangerous, with implications for disease, death, transmission, and inheritance to the offspring. An immediate moratorium on these novel genetic vaccines was demanded by the expert panelist. Again, that was the October 10th press release from the World Council for Health expert panel that found these DNA plasmid sequences. So that could explain what oncologists worldwide are calling now turbo cancers. These are late stage cancers, devastating various groups, including students, college-age students who took the vaccine, Dr. William Makis, M-A-K-I-S, he's out of Canada. You can go to Makis, M-D, M-A-K-I-S, M-D, .substack.com to see this article. And basically, he goes through case reports. So these are just case reports only. 72 different case reports of turbo cancers in 18 to 24-year-olds in 2023 alone. He says this is just a small sample of the thousands of tragic stories that are out there. And when you go through and you see these young people in the prime of their life with cancers that are not behaving like a typical normal cancer, it's quite alarming. Dr. Ryan Cole also goes through the term turbo cancer. This is a new term now. And he talks about, this is from VigilantNews.com when they interviewed him October 13th of 23. He said, quote, "We're seeing people get leukemias and they appear in the emergency room and then they're gone within a week." He talks about what he's seeing as a pathologist, and he travels worldwide and speaks to colleagues all over the world, and oncologists have been contacting him, and this is another quote. He said, "I'm seeing these very calm, manageable cancers take off like wildfire, like hydras, like dragons, and they're going everywhere." And he said, "It's because these shots suppress the immune system." Quote, "It," meaning the COVID shot, "put your T cells to sleep in a manner that they can't fight." And T cells are basically the Marines of your immune system. They're the frontline warriors. And all day long, you and I sitting here right now, anybody listening, we have about 30 billion T cells circulating around in your body. They're shaking hands and talking with every cell and asking, "Hey, how are you, friend? How's it going? Any foe? Are you infected? Are you a cancer cell? What do we do with you?" And so the T cells are just knocking on the door, checking all the time with all your cells. This is a Dr. Ryan Cole quote. Continuing, "Well, these shots instead have these T cells, instead of making them hardy on the front line, healthy soldiers, they make them kind of drunk and go back to the barracks and go to sleep. And now they can't do the surveillance to fight the cancer. These shots purposely suppress the Marines, the T cells who do the surveillance. The natural killer cells, NK cells, there's evidence that those are suppressed. Those are the cells that would actually go attack and take care of those foreign cells, the cancer cells. We're not seeing the pathologists, oncologists that he talks to, they're saying they're not seeing that these cancers even respond as conventional therapies might traditionally work. They're not seeing the same response. They're seeing a very rapid and aggressive growth of the cancer. So again, this has been reported worldwide. There's data talking about not only leukemia that I mentioned earlier, but other all sorts of different cancers. Dr. Professor Sukart Bhatki, and actually Dr. Bhatki was on our show during COVID a couple years ago, but he was on this expert panel at the World Council for Health, and he very aggressively, kind of in the same mindset I have right now, but this is a quote from Dr. Bhatki. Whoever propagates RNA vaccines as effective and safe, whoever claims nothing can happen to your genome is either incredibly ignorant or endlessly evil. Or I might throw in there cowardly. It's hard to admit when you're wrong and to stand up and ask for forgiveness and repent and turn and go the other way. It is hard, but we've got to do that for the sake of everyone. Dr. Brian Brindle, he's a professor of immunology in Canada. He was also at the World Council of Health. he said, quote, anybody who's received plasmid DNA in these shots, they have never been given informed consent for that. Those of us who know the manufacturing process were assured that there would not be plasmid DNA present. There's no excuse for companies like Pfizer and Moderna, with all their money and all their expert scientists, to have the plasmid DNA in the vaccines. The fact that they didn't get rid of this is egregious. That was Dr. Brian Brendel. And again, it's been since April now that we know about these. Beyond cancer, there was a study that came out looking at heart inflammation. I'm going to find that real quick. This was every single... And by the way, I forgot to mention, the Nobel Prize was awarded recently. I think it was last week or week before. Caracco and Wiseman both were awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine for this very thing we're talking about, the mRNA, the particular part of the mRNA technology called pseudouridination, which makes the mRNA indestructible, where you cannot shut off this production of this spike protein, which again, next week, Dr. Brian Artis will be here talking about what exactly is this spike protein. So it's going to be a very interesting presentation next week on the show, so come back for that. But Nobel Prize awarded for this very thing that I'm saying, and these that World Council for Health and other experts and plenty of literature is saying is causing a disaster with cancer and heart disease. But here's a study. Let me pull it up real quick. Study shows heart damage in all people vaccinated with C19 mRNA preparations. This was October 3rd, 2023, by Dr. Peter F. Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R. And what they did in this study, the article is by Dr. Mayer, but the study was by Nakara, N-A-K-A-H-A-R-A et al. It's entitled Assessment of Myocardial 18F-FDG Uptake PET-CT in Asymptomatic SARS-CoV-2 Vaccinated and Non-Vaccinated Patients. So they were doing PET scans of the patient's heart, looking for any signs of changes, inflammation in vaccinated people. Even very minor changes, that because asymptomatic means no symptoms. And what they found in the study was every single patient who received the injection had some indication of cardiac cell damage or inflammation. There's an abnormally high glucose requirement in the heart muscle, indicating abnormal heart function. So with the PET scan, they give you an IV of glucose, which is sugar, and then they take a picture. This sugar has a particular label, radioactive label to it, so the CT will pick it up. And so wherever the body's taking this up more aggressively, it'll light up, and that's what they showed. The cardiac muscle cells were taking that glucose up much more aggressively. So that's considered an abnormal PET scan of the heart on every single person who they studied. That was 700 vaccinated patients, 303 unvaccinated patients. We could go on and on and on. Just talking about all-cause mortality, this Dennis Rancourt, and I believe Dr. Rancourt was at the World Council for Health also, I believe. If not, his data was for sure. But what Dr. Rancourt does is look at all-cause mortality, so total death, and he goes back historically and looks at each year. That's who I was tracking through COVID to look at the all-cause mortality through the pandemic. But he's assessed all-cause mortality ongoing through 21 and 22. And what he has found, and his group, the Nonprofit Correlation Research in the Public Interest, that's a group of researchers that got together to look at data, analyze it independently, not funded by any institution or corporation, funded by a nonprofit status by individuals. Anyways, the correlation research in the public interest found a vaccine fatality rate of about one death per 800 injections across all ages in all countries. One death per 800 injections. If you do the math on that, 17 million deaths is what that would translate to. This study has not yet been peer-reviewed. It's in the process. But even if that's, I mean, these are respected researchers, group of researchers, in their analysis of the data. I think the evidence is overwhelming at this part. At this point, you can't argue with all-cause mortality. Now, is it 17 million? Is it 10 million? Is it 5 million? I mean, directly related to the shot. That's where there's some debate, and that's what these guys are trying to get to the bottom of. But the point being, why are these shots still on the market? Why is every public health official not out aggressively putting up billboards? Why do we not see a ticker going across CNN and Fox News and KCBD and all of them with the number of deaths of young people? Like Ed Dowd said at the beginning of the show, I mean, these are young in their prime, should be vibrant, should be, even though the United States, our life expectancy has plummeted, and we're about middle of the pack. The Washington Post actually did an article on this, and interesting enough, they stopped the all-cause mortality analysis at 2019. I don't know why they didn't put the 21 and 22 date in there. But even at that, stopping at 2019, our life expectancy has dropped to 76 and a half years. And that's probably my biggest point, and we'll wrap it up, is we are sick as a country, and we've been sick for a long time. Heart disease and cancer, obviously the number two killers. Diabetes and liver disease jumped up incredibly. Fatty liver disease now, which when I was just starting out 23 years ago in medical school, I mean, it was a known thing. It was definitely in the adult population, unheard of in kids. And this article talked about, let me try to find the number, but I want to say it's 10 or 15% of kids have fatty liver disease. That's fatty infiltration of the liver, where you have fat globs, fat pockets get deposited in the liver of kids. It's unbelievable. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is what it's called. And the Washington Post put at the end, it's a mystery. We just don't know what's causing this. Well, there's a study of 5,500 children led by Dr. Monica Fisher from the Department of Epidemiology at University of Michigan that found for children under 6 who received at least one dose of the Hep B vaccine, you're 2.94 times more likely to be diagnosed with liver problems than children who did not receive the Hep B vaccine. Now, I'm not putting all this on Hep B, although we could put a lot on it, because there is zero indication for Hep B. Hepatitis is transmitted through drug abuse needles and sexual intercourse. So why does your baby on day of life one need a Hep B vaccine with 250 micrograms of aluminum in it, where there's no known function in the body for aluminum except it's a neurotoxin? There is zero reason to have that, except it makes it more likely that your child's going to come back to keep on track at the 2, 4, and 6 month checkups for their shots. If we start them off on day of life one, they'll be more likely to show up at the 2 month visit. That is what they said when they rolled this thing out. Anyways, Americans are sick beyond belief. Our life expectancy continues to deteriorate. Our top treatment for heart disease, the number one killer, is statins. Go back and listen to Dr. Malcolm Kendrick. We interviewed him on the show. The Clot Thickens is the name of his book, and he talks clearly in that interview about how statins decrease your all-cause mortality by 0.8%. So our number one therapy is less than 1% effective. That's for our number one killer. Our number two killer, cancer, chemotherapy. Once cancer spread beyond a single area, once it's beyond stage one, then it's spread into the body. You got to use chemotherapy. Chemo does not kill cancer stem cells that circulate around the body. They will kill your tumor cell, so your PET scan looks better for a time, but then 3, 4, 5 years down the road, boom, it's back, it's everywhere, and we can't do anything about it. And we know this. It's well documented. The effects of chemotherapy for long-term survival is less than 2%. That's an Australian study. It's 1.9%, I believe, was the exact number. Australian study published a number of years ago. How could that be? Our number one treatment for late-stage cancer is chemotherapy. contributes 1.9% to 5-year survival, because it doesn't. It makes the circulating cancer stem cells hardier. But I don't know any cancer patient that's told that. So as long as we continue to walk in ignorance and walk with very, very less than 1% or less than 2% therapy options that are, you know, that benefit you with such a small percentage, we're going to continue to not only be last place, but continue our rapid descent into life expectancy that was at 80, then 79, 78, 76, and we'll soon be less than that with all these sick kids. And my point is, quit looking to someone else to fix you, especially if the someone else is on the team that comes in last place every single year with the worst outcomes. Take charge of your own health. Turn off the TV. Go pursue the truth on your own. If it's not clear to you now, I don't know what else can make it more clear to you that there are other motives in the biopharmaceutical complex, as Dr. Peter McCullough calls it. If the motive for you is health and wellness for you and your family and your kids, then you need to go seek the truth somewhere else besides YouTube, because YouTube just announced not only are they going to start censoring COVID misinformation, quote-unquote, which is so ironic. The misinformation's coming from the health authorities, actually, according to the data. But they're going to censor all health information on YouTube that doesn't line up with the WHO. So if you come out and say statins aren't that effective, according to all the published data, well, that doesn't line up with the WHO, so they're going to censor that. So you better find somewhere to get the truth. The love of money, the root of all evil. All right, we'll be back next week. Dr. Brian Artis will be with us in a fascinating interview, guarantee. These plasmid DNAs, what exactly is the spike protein and what do you do about it? We'll talk about that next week. Thanks for joining us today on the show. The show will be archived at veritasmedical.com under the resource tab under podcast archive page and on Apple iTunes under You're the Cure. So we'll see y'all next week. Thanks for joining us today.
And you've been listening to You're the Cure right here with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com, archive shows, and other important information to help you regain control of your health.